Hello and welcome to this episode of Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hop Headset.
I'm Jason Hendrick with Everybody's Hungry, and we are having breakfast.
Breakfast of Champions. Champions, we are celebrating, institutions' win for them, aren't we? So we're drinking Institution Ale Company.
Cheers, our guest today.
Cheers. Sean?
You, sir.
Cheers, guys.
And we've been going through, we're to the very last beer of the Best in Fest beer competition for the 21st annual Casa Pacifica Wine, Food, and Brew Festival. You know, I don't know if we've ever said when it's happening. It's happening June 1st, 2014.
I know.
So you can go ahead and take a look. Go to CP Wine and Food Festival, I believe, is the website. Take a look and get your tickets. Buy your tickets. We took part in the beer competition, which was the inaugural beer competition. Commercial beers, ranging from Ladyface to, we just did all these Surf, Wolf Creek, and Figaro Mountain, thank you, and Firestone Walker, and Island Brewing, and now Institution Ales. And you can find all of those back issues if you go to hopheadset.com/pints and pairings. You'll be able to find all of our write-ups for that. So when you go to this festival on June 1st, remember it's June 1st, when you go to this festival, you'll know what beers these people are bringing, and you'll have a good idea of how to make your own beer pairing. So we talked about, we had two certified Cicerones on the panel. We had a BJCP, a homebrew club president. And then, of course, Jason was on that
You
panel.
You say, of course, like it's a given, but I was very honored for it to be my first beer judging experience.
Well, I was glad that you were able to be there. And, the certifications can mean a lot to people all over the place, but it's whether or not you have the talent in order to taste the beer, and it doesn't, anyone can study and study and study. You may have book smarts, but maybe you don't have the using smarts, and
so
Jason, you have the using smarts.
When we look at the parameters and the judging too, we should talk about that just real quick. It was about having the style guidelines next to us. We use the Brewers Association style guidelines. We had those open and available to us so we could compare against what is expected. We taste it. We smell it. Does it fit with those guidelines? And then the other half of the judging sheet that was really quality and pertinent to the Casa Pacifica Wine, Food, and Brew Festival is the pairing suggestions. So now that we've judged these beers based on style, how do we feel it would compare to a food lineup? And this beer that we're getting ready to talk about in depth really fit both sides, style-wise and food pairing. It was great on both of the spectrums, and I think it was a pretty unanimous decision by the judges. I've never heard of a judging competition or a beer competition where food was a component and a requirement to the judging.
Well, as I do the little knuckle rub on my shirt, it was something. It's how I approached them with this idea, mostly to get us to involve in this festival so that we could bring these kinds of things forward so that people can kind of think about beer and food, and especially to this big group of wine drinkers, quote unquote, air quotes, because there's a whole lot of beer drinking that goes on at this festival and always has been. But wine always takes that top billing. Well, I'm fed up with wine taking the top billing.
Just to put it out there, Curtis is tired of it. But a winemaker would say it takes a lot of beer to make wine. I anticipate there is many instances on the other spectrum where it takes a lot of wine or spirits to make beer. We'll get Sean's take on that in a second. But one of the things, too, just to get to the best in show, the first round was strictly against style. It was, how does this beer compare to what the guidelines are conveying? The second round was a roundtable discussion with the judges about the top three points-wise from the first round. And lining those three beers up side by side, which one do we feel was the most drinkable in a single sitting, as well as just a overall quality showing.
Well, and I think you hit on a really good point there too, is that for me, when I do the best of shows, it's which one is the most enjoyable to drink. Now, I love IPAs. That's no secret. And I love giant, just double IPA, triple IPAs. But you can't have more than one of those, sure. You know? And so after you drink a bomber of, you know, I'm trying to think of what do we have, the Incoherence or the, what's the other one, Sean? The Disarray. I mean, you're not going anywhere and you're not good for anything else after that. And so, you know, this beer, the Restraint, which is, comes in at 6.2.
The Restraint, yeah.
6.2%.
6.0, actually.
So, you know, it's a fairly mid-range. This beer was up against a Session IPA, which was at 4.5, and it was up against a Double IPA, which was clocking in at, what was that, Jason? 11?
No, it's 9.9.
9.9%. So, you know, that's, this one fell right in the middle of these beers.
That's a great lead-in to bringing Sean's perspective on his own beer, because we enjoyed all three that were in the best of show round. We like the Session IPA for different characteristics. We like the Double IPA for certain characteristics. But in terms of complexity and an overall rounded profile, the Restraint came out ahead. And as a person who drinks this more frequently than most, Sean, when you drink this beer, what's coming out of the glass for you, both aroma and flavor-wise?
Yeah, with this beer, we call it a maple-aged brown. I kind of think of it as like a California-style brown, meaning that it's got kind of that West Coast influence on it, even though it's kind of a traditional brown ale. So it's got a lot of complexities, and it's called Restraint because when we were creating the recipe for this beer, we didn't really want kind of a single flavor profile or characteristic to define this beer. So we don't want people to say, oh yeah, that's that really coffee brown, or that's that really chocolatey brown, or that's the really dry brown, or the really sweet brown. We wanted to kind of implement all those flavors I mentioned, but we wanted to do it in a way where not a single one kind of, you know, kind of overtook the other flavors. So if you have it and you take a sip, you know, you pick something out of it, and then you take a sip a couple minutes later, beer warms up, you get something else out of it. So it's kind of this like evolving kind of complex beer. And the challenge was doing that in a beer that's, you know, not a session beer, but it is 6%. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of a little bit held back compared to some of the beers out there. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's kind of a well just balanced brown. Kind of just when we were making it, I looked at all the different browns out there and I kind of decided what I liked in some of them, which I didn't. And to me, the beer that stands out for me as kind of the kind of showcase brown is Alesmith's Nut Brown Ale. Mm-hmm. Really love that beer for a lot of the same reason I like Restraint. So that was kind of the influence on this beer. But, you know, we use a little bit different yeast, a little bit different ingredients and stuff. We actually aged this beer on hard maple wood, which kind of adds a slight smokiness to it, and it kind of rounds out the beer, which is making it a little, like I said, unique take on a traditional style beer.
Well, I think that's a good point right there, too, is that this is... The tap says maple brown ale, and I've taken great effort to make sure that when I'm talking about that, I'm talking that it's aged, it's a maple wood aged, so that right. People aren't expecting a pancake in the bottle kind
right.
of thing. And that's not what this beer is. There's this wonderful caramel sweetness, and the hop present helps to clean everything out. And then it ends up fairly dry. You know, it's making you want to come back.
That
for
was the base of the discussion between the judges during that round table is the role of the wood. You know, was it to add aroma? Was it to add flavor? Or was it strictly to dry out the beer? And I think there was a direction that it was more for the drying aspects and just a little hint of aroma and flavor. For me personally, when I was looking at the board afterward and kind of reading the description of it, I wouldn't have minded a little more malt or maple component. So either a little more sweetness to make it appear more mapley or actually a little more maple. However, looking at it from a food perspective, I think it actually allows more flexibility not going that direction. Like the suggestion I provided was roasted pork loin with thyme and a light berry glaze. So the sweetness and the maple enhancement could come from the food, and I think Andrew was on target as well. He said wafer cookies and caramels. will be a great addition. Allowing the beer to be accentuated from something else and not necessarily having to do all the work itself.
Well, I mean, have this with waffles if that's what you want to do. I mean, seriously. Right. Well, no, just bring waffles, you know, and not the pancake. I want something that's a little eggy or whatever. But I think to that point is that there's a nice sweetness to this that can lend to those dishes.
Most definitely. And overall, there was a good balance for me, and there still is. I mean, we've got a fresh glass right in front of us. We have a larger pour now, so the color in that is even darker with the larger mm-hmm. volume of beer in it. But the color is great. The clarity is there. Bitter toffee, like a roastiness, is one of the primary notes that came out for me, both in the aroma and the flavor. And again, that could be a really great pairing aspect for many foods out there.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a pretty versatile beer as far as, like you said, it does have that sweet component, but it finishes pretty dry mm-hmm. and does have some hop characteristics to it. So it could be a breakfast beer, and you have it with, you know, some waffles, like you said. It could be almost a dessert beer, even though it's not this big, dark, roasty stout. You could, you know, pair it with dessert, or you could have it, you know, like you said, a main dish, a snack. You could do, you know, grilled cheese and stuff with it, and it kind of really complements. So it's kind of an all occasions type of beer.
You know, he just said two things, and one of them is really fresh in my mind because I just had Trader Joe's, what was it? It's the pecan toffee crunch flake cereal this morning, and this cereal. I mean, just in the liquid form.
I thought you were going to say you want to pour this over the cereal.
Well, you could do that too, but the carbonation would get kind of funky, I think. But have it side by side. Then the last thing you just said, now I'm just facing it. So you said the very last entree you said.
Grilled cheese?
The grilled cheese. So talking about, but, you know, custom melt. We're no strangers to custom melt. And I've had their, one of my favorite ones there is this, it's a Gruyere, but then there's also these caramelized onions. And this beer just screams that it needs that grilled cheese sandwich right there.
Something fatty would go great with this mm-hmm. too, because there is enough of a dryness and a little bit of it's not an acidity, but there's a crispness to it. It would cut through something really nice and fatty, a great glazed pork belly. If you were to braise pork belly in a root beer and then pan sear it afterward, so you get a crunch and a little crispiness on the edges, but you get a great mm-hmm. richness and that fatty component. As you mentioned, Sean, this is just a good overall beer. I could sit and have two or three of these in a row and be totally pleased afterward, just nice and satiated. When we look at aroma, I think aroma is talked about so frequently on the show and what it alludes to, what's coming in the glass. I pulled out a little bit of butter and sugar, but almost a little hint of fennel as well. So from your perspective, what brings more of an herbaceous or a vegetable component to a beer or this particular beer? And recipe-wise, do you feel it's more roasty and chocolatey than anything else, or is there something? Basically, I'm looking for a little validation. Was I way off? Because I just feel like there was more complexity in this beer than people would potentially give it credit for right off the name.
Right. Yeah. And that's probably just a tribute to it not being one-dimensional. So you'll get something out of it that maybe someone else won't, and vice versa, as opposed to everyone going, yep, that's coffee. You know, mm-hmm. that is a brown with a lot of roasty coffee in it. So it's got a lot of that cascade hop when used all for the most part right at flame out. So you get a lot of hop aromatic from the cascade, which, you know, when it's in the IPAs, it comes off as super fruity. When it's mixed in like a darker beer, like a brown, you start getting more earthy qualities to it. And then you have the maple wood. I wish I still had a non, you know, treated version of this beer, which when we originally were designing the recipe, you know, we had it just basically the beer without wood. We had it with hard maple, soft maple, American oak, ash wood. I mean, we had about 10 different.
Are you using staves, cubes?
It's called Honeycomb Barrel Alternative, which essentially is a company that makes barrels. Before they make barrels, they'll actually take staves, drill a bunch of holes through it just to increase surface area, which kind of gives you the best of both worlds. It allows you to extract flavor fairly quickly, but it also has some of the inner workings of the wood, so you don't just get the kind of this, you know, you know, not as complex of a character. You kind of get both. So we use those in most of our wood treated beer. So if we're doing Frantic on oak, it gets it from that company. If we're doing, you know, Restraint on hard maple, we get it from them. But when we line them all up, there was nothing at all wrong with Restraint without the wood. And there was some really great variations of it, you know, particularly soft maple, I think might have even been my favorite of all of them. But we kind of came to the consensus that for drinkability and for someone to, you know, not just have a pint of this beer, but to get it in a growler and take it home, you know, you don't necessarily want something so overpowering that it's a great almost novelty beer to have a taster of, or maybe you're good for a pint whenever you're in the mood, but it's not that beer that is your go-to growler beer every week, or you're going to have two or three of them in a sitting or something. So the hard maple, just for whatever reason, really kind of just brought, you know, that drinkability to the beer, which is why we went with it.
So with that research spectrum that I think you mentioned, four or five different woods,
yeah,
would you ever consider doing a horizontal flight of this again for the consumer and saying, hey, this is the process we went through, maybe you would enjoy it, like, maybe in small batches, and just put all of them up against each other in a single sitting?
Right. Yeah, that's something we want to do. And we're trying to do that with not just this beer, but even our single hop beers, which we did a little bit last week, where we kind of did a blind tasting of our single hop beer with Simcoe, and then with Amarillo, and then, you know, it was kind of the isolated variable of our brewing process and malt bill and yeast and fermentation technique. Everything's identical, and you kind of just isolate those hops, so when customers try it, they could really pick out, you know, what that hop's doing to the beer. And we'd love to do that with this, but with the wood varietals, which is one of those reasons we got, I mentioned before, the kind of those small one barrel side projects, so we could get stuff like that going. Otherwise, it's just difficult for us to fill a whole tank up with the soft maple, fill another one up with hard maple. But I think in the future, as we start incorporating those new fermenters kind of into our rotation, we'll start doing more kind of fun little compare and contrast projects like that.
Sounds like a great private event, Curtis, that we can maybe help organize. And,
Do you need help with that? So when you were looking at the whole lineup of wood possibilities for this, you know, that was, as you were kind of saying, well, how did you fall into maple, which maple wood, which seems, it's a little unusual to me, I guess, you know? I mean, oak plays such a huge role in whether it's wine or it's spirits or even beer. So much as, you know, when we're talking barrel age, you're talking about oak. So how did you even consider doing maple? Or I guess maybe the better question might be is, why didn't you just do oak?
Right. I mean, I think it started out as just different for the sake of being different. You know, like, we're this new brewery. We don't want to come out with, you know, a beer that people already know what to expect from it. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily, when we initially were kind of brainstorming the process, it wasn't like, you know, I had in the back of my mind, like, this beer would go great with some wood, but oak's not going to cut it. It was nothing like that. It was just like, you know, let's see what else is out there. And let's, if nothing else, make a beer that maybe people haven't tried before, type of thing. And I had experimented with a few of these. I think it was an old Zymergy article, you know, a few years back, that mentioned this company and all that. You could, you know, you don't have to just go to your homebrew store and get, you know, French oak, or, you know, you could get, you know, 10 different types of wood. And when I was reading this article, I was like, oh, that's cool. And I just went online, ordered all of them, type of thing. And then when we really got into the recipe planning part of the business, we're like, hey, you know, we've got time. Let's just do them all and see. And, you know, we were wanting to pick something other than oak, just like I said, if nothing else, just to be different. But when we actually ended up doing blind tastings of all ourselves, you know, it ended up being that we just liked this one more. And I think, you know, oak could be a little overpowering, especially in aroma and stuff. And even the hard maple can be too, if you give enough time. So these aren't beers that sit on wood for, you know, really long aging or anything. It's kind of there to almost be an afterthought. You know, I could enter this beer, I feel, at least in a competition and not mention anything about the wood at all. And it's just a flavor that, you know, there's, is it from something else? Is it just from the malts you're using? You know, so it's one of those things where it's kind of meant to be an afterthought. And if you're told it has this in it, maybe you start thinking about it, but it's pretty subtle, I think.
I think that's a great point. As we're getting ready to wrap up a second too, though, cold, it's more of a woodsy aspect. It's harder to identify the maple component. You just know that it's dry and a little woodsy. Now that my glass is starting to warm up, it's starting to go more into the maple realm, where a little bit of that wood sweetness, that reminiscent aspect of maple that we expect, is starting to come out. And I like that you mentioned it earlier on in the segment about the evolution of the beer as it sits, and it's going to change and give you different perspectives. And that's what I like about a great kind of just one, a food pairing beer, but also a overall pleasing beer that I just want to sit on the couch and enjoy with friends, is that it's not one dimensional. It doesn't, you know, I'm not drinking 16 ounces of the exact same thing for 25, 30 minutes. The beer gives me different experiences, whether it's context or it's, you know, temperature. It doesn't matter. I'm able to get a lot of different things out of this beer and just feel good about it.
Right. And one of the things that I'm, you know, as you're saying that this is just something that we did to kind of stand out and doing something different, you know, it comes down to serendipity. You know, I mean, here you've got these confluence of events that are coming together to create what we have here in front of us too, with just being, having the ability to be open-minded about something, you know, about what we're going to add into it. One of the things that I really like about the beer, though, is that we've all had the oak beer where you're, it's kind of dusty, you know, pencil sharpener kind of shaving, sort of, you know, that reminiscent of those. That's not in this beer. And I think that this, you know, as Sean was talking about how this beer, we want this to be approachable. We want you to be able to drink it. Our experience with it is this incredibly drinkable beer. It's also, I think, a really great wood beer to introduce to people too. And so, you know, or somebody says, yeah, you know what, I had that double oaked bourbon barrel, whatever, and it just tastes like sawdust. Well, yeah, because, you know, that's
intense.
Right. It's an intense beer. Try this one here. And then, you know, as a home brewer, I'm sitting here going, oh, what can I add maple to now that I haven't necessarily appreciated about oak, you know, oak cubes. And so I think it's
a segment. As it sits on my palate, there are things coming to mind that I'm very excited about. And I think everyone should stay tuned, because I know, Curtis, you've got a distinct perspective on some food for this beer. Like I said, as I sit here and I drink a fresh glass, and it's fresh in my mind, away from the tasting sheets, the judging sheets that we use during the competition, there are a few things that I want to unleash on the public that I think will be delicious and I wish I had in front of me right now.
Well, I think that sounds like a good enough time to kind of close it down. We're running around about 25 minutes right now anyway on the segment. So we'll call it quits. Sean, thanks so much for letting us come in, pouring us a pint of fresh beer.
I really appreciate that.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you.
And, you know, make sure that you go to, you can find Institution Ale Company, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Institution Ales.
Yes.
There it is. And so, do a Google search for them. You're going to find them easy enough that way. You go ahead and find them that way. Look through the back episodes of Pints and Pairings for the hashtag CP Best and Fest, and you'll find the six other beers that we've highlighted, seven total, for this festival, the 21st Annual Casa Pacifica Angels Wine, Food, and Brew Festival, which is happening Sunday, June 1st, 2014. Jason and I will be there. We may be a little worse for wear, but we will be there.
I have to judge food this year, though, so I'll have to talk.
We'll be coming from Firestone Walker for 2 days. That we're making it a weekend of that one.
Nice.
So we'll see what we're up for. I guess some more beer drinking, some wine drinking.
And we'll be looking for the Institution booth while we're there, and excited to hear what kind of feedback you're going to get from the VIP dinner the night before. I know your restraint is going to be showcased. Chef Tim was already hitting me up asking about flavor profiles, and he's a previous Yummies winner from the Casa Pacifica Wine, Food, and Brew Festival. So he's looking for tips on what to pair with it. I'm excited to hear kind of how this beer goes over with those people who are paying $200 a seat to see all the great previous winners and all the quality winners in this round.
Does he have? Will he be there on Saturday too? Or I mean, on
he's
Sunday?
He's judging on Sunday. Yeah, he's.
But will Scratch be there?
I don't recall if Scratch is going to be a booth, but Chef Tim will be on the judging panel for the food, so we'll be able to get a little feedback.
It's worth the price of entrance if Chef Tim has been asking for flavor profiles for a beer that he wants to highlight, because that kid knows how to cook.
I think it's a tribute to, as we mentioned, to you, Sean, and your family and team, your institution, and this beer, the Restraint, which is the American brown on maple dry, sweet, hard maple wood that Chef Tim run in Chef County.
Hard maple wood and not leaf blowers.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that he's wanting to come up with something that fits with your beer. So, thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate it. Thanks
course,
for
guys.
Hosting us here in the tap room.
Yeah, absolutely.
So stay tuned, you know, and take a look for the next episode where Jason and I will kind of pick apart the beer in the most pleasant and positive ways that we do and hit the suggestions from, because I have two judging sheets here in front of me that we haven't talked about yet either. Not to mention, I want to talk about that granola.
I know you're into cereals.
All right.
This is Pints and Pairings, and we'll be back shortly with a further profile on Restraint. American Brown from Institution of Health.
Cheers.